is part of the Podcast Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
You know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those are
running
CDs
in circles.
You just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 450. With me tonight, co-hosting, is the Jaeger Bager from Adrenaline 101 Radio, Robbie Perrone. What's up, Robbie?
What's going on, Bill? Thanks for inviting me over, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you sent me a message, and I was like, hey, why don't you come do this with me?
Yeah, that was like literally, like there's no closer to spur of the moment than that one. Just, hey, you want to co-host? Sure. Like, now?
Yep, that's how it went. With us tonight, coming at you from Cincinnati, is the band Acaria.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
And I still messed it up because I didn't announce the stations that time. PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, BuildTheScene.com/radio, RootaRooRadio.com, 107.1 FM. And which one did I forget? Oh, well, we'll figure it out later. If you missed it, listen to last week's show. They're all listed. Hey, so I'll start with Liz because she sticks out when she's speaking. And I'll let her introduce herself, tell you what she does in the band, and then you guys can just kind of rotate through and complete that circle for us.
Okay. My name is Liz, and I play the drums.
I'm Jack. I'm the bassist.
I'm Max. I'm the guitarist.
I'm Wes, and I'm the cook.
Did we get
anything? He cooks on his guitar.
Yeah.
Does that account for everyone?
That's it.
Yeah. And Wes also sings. He's very modest about it.
I'm still just trying to figure out this microphone situation.
Wes. Also he's also our recording engineer.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Yeah.
So, I mentioned that Liz and Wes were on episode number 303, which was about 6.5 years ago and 147 episodes ago. So I'm sure there's a lot of things that have changed. In fact, I'm guessing that some of the band members are different. Am I right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
And we actually let him talk this time, so that's, you know.
Yeah, what an honor.
What else has changed in 6.5 years? I mean, you're still in Cincinnati. I don't understand that part of it, but.
Us neither.
Well, we have, gone through a number of, incarnations, you might call it, as far as having different lineups. And with that, the sound has changed quite a bit, because the last time you and I talked, you have to excuse the scratchiness of my voice, I'm getting over a cold, but the last time you and I talked, I actually played hand percussion in the band. And after having various experiences with various lineups, we decided it would be a little more stable if I would just be the kit player. So, you know, we made that transition a couple of years ago and, of course, had to go through a few different kits to figure out how that was going to work. But currently I'm playing a MPEG Saturn that has six toms, as well as a kick drum and all the cymbals and whatnot. And, but I play standing up. So it's still got some of the elements of the percussion setup, but now it's just kind of, gigantic. So it's a drum kit on steroids, I guess.
I do have a follow-up question from way back then.
Sure.
And it's for Wes. Is he still messing with the mic?
kind of. Yeah. I'm here.
Okay. So here's my question for you.
Okay.
You described a band's sound as a pissed off Dave Matthews band.
Yes.
Would you still do that?
As a pissed off Dave Matthews band. Yeah. Kinda. I mean, I guess I don't. I'm not as frustrated anymore. I guess I have a daughter now, so I've settled down a little bit. But
for now,
yeah, I think the songs are one of the things that I think that has happened since the last time that I talked to you is we were playing at a festival, and I think it was in West Virginia, and we were all sitting around a fire, and a girl that we had just kind of struck up a friendship with, we were having a conversation there, and she had said that, you know, there was just something about Liz and I's personality that was incredibly, you know, healing to her, I guess. But then when she listened to our music, that she just, you know, got a feeling of frustration, and that, I guess one way just meant a lot more to her. And so, you know, that was really, I did a lot of, I guess, self-reflection on what kind of music I was writing, or at least because I was never pissed off. I just, I think I spoke, maybe a little bit too directly about some things, and I just focused on the wrong subject matter to write songs about. And now the songs are just a lot, I guess they're a lot more gentle now. So
not as pissed off.
pissed off after a couple glasses of wine.
Subliminally pissed off.
Yeah.
I was waiting for Robbie to there. Robbie, you want to take turns? You want to ask them a question?
No, you can handle the questions on this because you kind of threw me into the loop on this one too late.
I sent you a link.
Yeah, I had a whole 25 seconds before I got on here.
So it's acariaband.com, acaria band.com.
Yeah, the AK is our rap project.
Well, you know, with Bill Decine, I am trying to expand genres.
Yeah, as long as it's not this mumble garbage that they have going on, it's old school stuff. Like get like the, I don't know, Tupac and guys like that in there. Not so much, I don't know, the stuff that's popular now.
I have never really been a huge fan. Like I would say I scratched the surface. Like I like Run DMC and
I was gonna say Bill still has his MC Hammer pants.
Ooh. Yeah.
I never actually had those. I'm old enough to, but I never actually did.
Okay, well, the kid you beat up and push. Yeah.
He commandeered them. He didn't take them.
Yes. He borrowed them with no desire to return them.
Yeah.
So, okay, we're going to cut
Aren't you happy you invited me, Bill?
Wow. I re-listened to part of the last episode on my way home, trying to see what else I could talk to you guys about. There was something else I want to ask you, and I've completely forgotten. I would have written it down, but I was driving. I'll ask you some questions that I definitely didn't use back then because I wasn't asking them then. If you could live the movie Rockstar, what band would you first of all create a tribute for and then hope to end up in? And silence.
They're thinking. Give them a second. Jeez. That's a tough question.
I know. When I asked Robbie this question a few weeks ago, he said, wait, I have to play bass? I'm like, yeah, I heard you sing. He used to be the lead singer of a band.
True story.
Notice that he's in two bands and not the lead singer.
Correct.
Nah, he's not bad. harassing
not,
him.
Not good either, but...
Well, you said that, not me.
I already know what band I'd be doing.
Good.
That's a pretty deep question. So it's basically if we could be any band and we had to fulfill the roles of those particular musicians.
Right. Just wait.
kind of have to wonder who had the most fun, really, you know, for me. I mean, of course the music matters, but also some of them had very tragic endings.
Would we be assuming the role of the person or just the role of the musician?
that position in the band.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So if you say Stevie Ray Vaughan, you're not going down in a helicopter. You're fine.
Okay.
I was going to say Led Zeppelin, but then I'd end up losing some people.
Come on, Wes, help us out.
I stumped them all.
I have always been impressed with the showmanship of Jaco Pastorius. He was also the guy that like got me into playing electric bass in like middle school. But I mean, aside from, you know, being beaten up at the end, I find what am I trying to say? So like my favorite video of him is when he plays his version of Third Stone from the Sun. And at the end of the video, he lays his bass flat on the ground and just starts just slamming it. And it's just like that kind of creativity. Like, I don't know. I'm just kind of drawn to that. So I would just off the cuff, I'd say Weather Report, I guess.
Cool. Anybody else want to touch that one or you want me to move on?
I feel like I need to do some research and then come back to you on that question. Because I have to review all the bands I like, but then also what I want to be that person. But there's so many bands to love and to want to emulate, and also musicians too. That's a pretty good question. I mean, it's nice to think about in that term.
I'm still holding strong to my Spice Girls.
It's a good one.
Yes, you really answered that.
Yep.
All right, well,
they had a lot of fun.
This question's kind of along the same lines, but it might be easier to answer. If you could go back in time and spend 1 year following around one band, so basically you can you know, you get to watch that band in their prime. What band would you want to follow?
So is this kind of like an Almost Famous deal?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
We'll stick with the movie theme.
So basically you're just going to think back to a band's heyday and want to go out with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not joining the band, you're just hanging out.
Me, that's a simple one. Guns N' Roses.
I feel like there was so much creativity in the 50s and 60s, you know.
Yeah.
It's been very interesting to be around, you know, when all of the beatniks were getting going and then folk music got started and it was so revolutionary, you know, not just in the music aspect of it, but just also the intention of it. I think that would have been really an interesting time to be around.
I'm really waiting for you to say something about John Lane. Anyway,
they don't know the legend,
but they are in the same state as him.
Oh, this is true. Eventually they'll run into, the man, the myth, the legend of John Lane.
So John Lane. John Lane.
Yeah, still is in.
Frontman of the band The Hellfire Club out of Akron, Pennsylvania. It may as well be Akron, Pennsylvania, because he spends just as much time in Pennsylvania as he does in Ohio.
Okay.
He is originally from Pennsylvania and moved to Ohio because there's a woman there. and he stayed. Isn't that kind of how that went, Robbie?
Yep, pretty much, yeah.
Although he just... Well, we won't get into that. But the initials of his band, I don't know if you guys all caught that. The Hellfire Club, THC.
Okay.
And they are a metal and hard rock band. Robbie and John shared the stage for a while.
Yes. Many, many, many moons ago. And still, no matter what show you're at, if John Lane is there, you will share a stage with him too.
Yes. Because he's going to know a song you're doing and he's going to end up with the mic in his hand.
Yes.
Nice.
John's a good guy.
We've met a lot of THC, but... not the THC.
He's if you ever hear someone talking about the American Hill Jack, then you will know that they're talking about John Lane.
Yeah.
And when you meet him, you'll understand that name.
Yep.
There you go.
Okay, so now that we introduced Cincinnati to Akron, or Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we've met some people from Pennsylvania. We tend to end up in Pennsylvania wherever we go. For at least we drive through Pennsylvania every time we go from like city to city, and it's weird how we keep ending up there. And it's like there's all these good aspects of Pennsylvania, but then there's these other ones that are just really scary that you have to watch out for.
No, I actually want to hear more about their info on the Millennium Music Conference.
Hey, so how about we listen to them talk about that? I don't know if
you caught that, Bill. Liz was starting to talk about them coming over for that.
I did not. So let's go with that.
Yeah, we're excited to be playing a couple showcases. Wes is going to do a solo set at the Gingerbread Man in Mechanicsburg on Friday, February 22nd. The night kicks off at 8:30, and he's going to play at 9:15. And then the full band is going to be playing at Evergreen Brewing Company in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, on Saturday, the next night. Kicking things off at 8:00. So it should be a lot of fun. We've had fun in the past. And if you happen to be in Harrisburg or nearby, please come say hello.
There you have it.
You mentioned a couple of shows in Pennsylvania. Where else are you guys playing soon?
We're hoping to play in Pittsburgh, actually.
See, that's close.
Coming soon, but not real soon. It'll be in June. Let me think what the date would be. I think it would be the 7th, possibly. Yeah, I think it's the 7th. So we're actually just putting that together. We're getting ready to do a little Northeastern tour, and that'll be our first stop. So yeah, if you have any suggestions on cool folks to hook up with and a nice venue, we're putting that together now, but we'll be playing through like upstate New York, hitting Vermont, hitting Connecticut, Boston, and then probably swinging through Cleveland on the way back home.
I'm sorry, I missed it. What month are you planning on coming through here?
That'll be June.
That'll be June. All right. I think I can help out with that.
No, that'd be awesome.
Because that's where Days New Dawn is actually looking at possibly debuting around June, July. So yeah, we could possibly hook up a show.
That'd be super fun.
If you could open for any internationally touring band, what band would you want to open for and where would you want to play?
Well, I'd say U2, but they just stopped, so
yeah, that'd be something.
Yeah. I mean,
well,
yeah.
You can still, I don't think that they say it. I mean, this is your,
I don't think they stopped. I think they just they're a little they're not old, but they're a little older now, so they just need to take a nap. They'll be back on the road. Like the last,
well,
the last decade, the last decade, I think it is. They're like the number one grossing touring band. Act in the mm-hmm. world. That's crazy. Even like they doubled what the Stones did, which is kind of is crazy to imagine because those guys were playing to like 300,000 people. I don't know. Yeah, that'd be cool. Liz, who would you want to play with?
Well, I'm still like got my mind on the venue because I would love to play at Red Rocks.
That's easy, yeah. Red Rocks, hands down.
But as far as like who, I mean, if we're the angry,
angry Matthews. Version
of Dave Matthews, I guess that could be kind of fun. But
yeah,
we can open up for the happy Dave Matthews.
Here's normal Dave Matthews, but opening them.
Angry Dave Matthews.
Although we're not, you know, we're not that much like Dave Matthews, besides the acoustic guitar and, you know, busy drumming. But
Max plays Barry Sax, so.
But I don't know. Like, there's just so many great bands to look up to, and a lot of my favorite bands are, you know, no longer, unfortunately. Just, it's been a sad few years in the music biz, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's Bowie mm-hmm. and Prince.
Mine probably would have been Bowie. That's what I loved opening for. Bowie or Prince.
Let's just resurrect Bowie and, you know.
If we're doing like venues that don't have to be like an actual venue, then I would choose at the feet of the Sphinx.
That would be cool.
See, I would have chosen.
They wouldn't let you, though.
Yeah.
I guess my band would have to be the Flaming Lips, just so that after we played, we could, like, chill in the crowd and just watch their performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spectacle, what they do.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Flaming Lips play live. But, they, like, the very first song in their show, they have these immense, I guess, PVC cannons, and they go and they just go out and shoot the entire crowd with confetti.
Mm-hmm.
And it just builds from there. And then they have dancing mushrooms and other things that come out on stage. But we're friends with their bassist, Michael Ivins. He actually played on a couple of tracks, I think, two tracks of ours, back before when we did the show the last time. So, but we've stayed in touch with him and his wife. They're really good people. I don't know the rest of the band too well, but we know Michael.
Well, let's use that kind of as a segue. Why don't you guys take a moment and tell me a little bit about the new EP and the song that we're going to play tonight?
The new EP was just, Liz and I were kind of, I guess we're blessed to have Max and Jack. We picked up those two guys over the last couple of years, and which just kind of has been taken off. The music that I think Liz and I were really going for, it just it
it was nice playing as a duo. You know, that was fun for a while, but it was just the music we play just has such a family feeling to it. And we definitely missed having that, you know, like a group of people that we played with. And then when we picked those two guys up, it added so many dimensions to the music that we're just like, hey, we need to make this a different thing. Is everybody okay there?
Yeah.
I was wondering if I was the only one who heard that.
Yeah, that was probably Max.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
That wasn't you.
What happened?
We need to all sound off. Is there... Because it sounds some we lost somebody, I think. Liz, yeah, you there?
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm here. You guys hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But so we approached this. I started approaching songwriting more from a storytelling standpoint. And then Being in Love in the World Again. It's. I think most of the songs are kind of come from a. They come from kind of like a cinematic kind of place for me. And once that happens and once I the story's there, it becomes really easy. And then, when I share the story with Max, Jack and Liz, you know, they help with the music and just, we all just kind of get in there and write and see what kind of animal we have. And,
Okay. So we're going to take a moment and listen to that animal. The title track being In Love When the World Began, and we will be right back with Aquaria.
There's a light that brings the day, stirring life in the usual way. In ascending, dreaming eyes, opening to the waking sky. We're all laughing and they'll stay. We've always known you'll come and stay. We'll all dance like no one can. Being in love when the world began. Mystic vines to climb the sky. Dancing winds show how to fly. Down the shelter rain. We won't need tears to keep us clean. Baby, there's another way. Let the walls to my own display. Don't the guy.
It's Bill. You just heard from Lucky Me, and that would be Robbie's band, and Aquarius' track, the self-titled EP, Being in Love When the World Began. And so I guess it's not really self-titled, but it's titled after that track. Wow. It's been one of those nights already.
That's all right. These are the nights you remember.
I think I'm gonna push Robbie a little bit here. So they said they want to come through Pittsburgh on June 7th,
mm-hmm.
and you made the comment that A Day's New Dawn will be trying to start between June and July, but I think they gave you a date.
Yeah. I mean, they'd kind of, you know, be talking to my guys and everything and see what we can come up with, because we are actually excuse me, and we're talking to Jazz from Homicide Black and Rattleclack Entertainment right now about getting into the studio, because the main thing we want to do is actually have our EP done before we start doing shows. So we're hoping to have that finished by that time and everything, and we'll be able to get out and do some shows, because we were aiming for the Rock for Life circuit, but I'm not quite sure where that all is going to fall this year. So,
but I'm glad you brought up Jazz and Rattleclack. The one-year anniversary of the Bill Desine radio station is coming up on the 27th of this month. So,
about happy 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm. And
happy anniversary.
And thank you. And the reason that I bring up Jazz is because Jazz is going to sponsor it this year, which means I don't have to pay for it. So, yay, Jazz!
We love you, Jazz.
Is that a person or a type of music? Or
no, he is a real person.
Okay.
He is a drummer and a guitarist
and recording engineer.
Yeah, and he does audiovisual all over the world.
Dang.
So his company is called Rattle Clack Entertainment. If anybody wants to look it up, and that's who is sponsoring the station for the next year.
Oh, nice.
The first three sponsors were GameStick, LLC.com, The Cycle Diner, which is CycleDiner.com, Sweeties Ice Cream, SweetiesIceCream.com, CycleDiner.com, and GameStickLLC.com.
There is another website you do, but I won't push you to say it or anything.
Yeah, well... I was going to mention it off the air, but so if you guys need any t-shirts, I happen to know a guy that has a t-shirt company.
Oh my God, that was the worst ever.
He has a vendor system on his site where, like, you don't actually have to, you know, you don't have to pre-order the shirts and hope that you get the right sizes.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually send people directly to his website. It's EndeavorAfterLLC.com. It is Robbie, by the way. And what happens is when they purchase the shirt, it automatically will send you a percentage of that back to you. So, like, you do no work other than sending the artwork to Robbie, and then he drop ships the stuff to your fans.
Very cool.
Yep.
All right. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. I just sent the website link to Liz.
Oh, there you go.
Awesome. Thank you.
So, should we mention any other websites? Since, you know, we're kind of, the whole show is broken down at this point.
Well, CariaBand.com. That's
awesome.
That's a good one. Yes. That's a very good one.
And why don't we mention all the social media stuff that you guys were mentioning off the air?
Well, it's
you want to
take a Karya Band. You go ahead.
Okay. So on social media, on Facebook, we are a Karya Band. On Instagram, we are a Karya Band. On Twitter, we're also a Karya Band, and our website is akaryaband.com.
And our Snapchat is a Karya Band.
Never would have guessed.
You guys all need to turn your phones off and go outside and just put your hands in the grass for a little bit. Just forget about that other stuff. Social media.
I think that I can honestly say that was probably the quote of the show right there. I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah, it's too much social and not very much media. It's just all. Liz has 5,000 close friends that she.
She had 5,000. She dropped one for me. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Right. Yeah. I have a new friend.
I'm blushing. You guys can't see it. But.
Okay, next question. If Robbie was going to play your music backwards,
okay,
what would he hear?
It would sound like Dave Matthews, obviously.
Happy Dave Matthews. Yeah.
If you played it backwards, I guess he would kind of hear from. It would sound like nighttime going back to dawn, which I guess kind of happens anyway because it's secular. It would just go the other way.
So you would say it would be like a day's new dawn.
I was waiting for it. That was bad, Bill. That was real bad.
Yeah, they don't have a website, though.
Oh, and there it is.
See?
Do you know a guy?
I might.
All right. We have a Facebook page so far.
We'll throw it out there.
Facebook.com/DaysNewDawn.
See, he's
banned, I think. I don't know. I haven't been on it for a while. Hang on. Let me find out.
So you
it's actually just Days New Dawn. Yeah, Facebook.com/DaysNewDawn.
What is something that your fans would be surprised to know about each of you? And tread lightly here.
Max, you go first on that one.
Probably that I've known you for 10 years.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah. Max and I have known each other for a long time, and he's only recently been in the project. So, Liz, your turn.
Anybody else?
I think people would be surprised to know that in another life, I was more known as a writer. So I did some journalism and I wrote a children's book and things like that. And I still do write, but it's more, you know, it's either more for pleasure or more for boring things like copywriting for websites and things like that. But
for some reason, I was waiting for you to be like, yeah, now I write. Definitely something that's not for children.
Oh, I still work with a lot of kids, so I guess I'm still kind of in that kid realm. But, yeah, I mean, I love writing, but I don't put myself out there as a writer, really. So I think sometimes people are surprised when they find that out, if they find it out.
Everybody except St. Louis is going to find it out now.
They left a long time ago.
Yeah, Google will have it all. except my DNA. I didn't do an ancestry test. So.
Well, I have webbed feet.
Well, do you really?
That. Yeah, I do.
I didn't know that. I knew you were a fast swimmer, but
I actually am very afraid of water, Wes. I don't know where you got those facts.
So I was about to say.
Yeah.
You can't swim.
Yeah, my toes are partially webbed.
Jesus.
Jesus.
You really hit the jackpot with me, didn't you?
I know. He's allergic to, like,
his
own tears.
Yeah,
I mean, like everything. He's allergic to everything. We can't have the dog in the room. We can't have strawberries around him.
I worked at a garden center for like 4 months, and the first 2 weeks I had to stay home 4 days, I think, because my eyes were swelling up. Got an allergy test. Turns out I'm allergic to every single kind of lawn grass in Kentucky. And all the mulch that we sold. So, yeah, that was, not too good in the immune system department.
I think the moral of the story here is that fans would be surprised to learn about Jack is that he's a hypochondriac.
Let's see. This is a fun one.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute, you skipped Wes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and he was trying to get that to happen too, because he was directing the question to everybody else.
Yeah. There's nothing really things that people would be surprised to know about me. Liz, do you know anything? I'm pretty open. I don't talk to a lot of people. I'm kind of a recluse a bit. I don't go out a whole lot. I stay and work. I write music.
I know something.
Oh, I have two wives. How about that? I have one named Katie and one named Jamie. So there you go. That's something. I guess it's unusual. I don't know if people would be surprised about that because they're always with me everywhere I go.
Well, that really my question of do they know about each other?
Yes, they do. Yeah. 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 They all. We all live together. So. Other than that, there's not really any. I don't know. I don't think there's anything else that's really that out there about me. I guess for legal reasons, I should say I have one wife and a very close personal assistant.
There you go.
Because multiple marriages is illegal, I think. I don't even know if that's a thing or not. I don't know.
I was going to ask you if you were Mormon, but...
No, I'm not. We don't do it for religious reasons. It's just it. Everybody has threesomes in college. We're just the ones that made it a lasting thing, I guess.
Okay, now I'm afraid to ask the next question.
Yeah. Like if that's what he just admits to freely, what else is in there?
Yeah. So this one is kind of, it's a twist.
Okay.
I want to know about embarrassing moments that happen on stage, but I don't want you to tell me about your embarrassing moment. I want you to tell me about someone else's in the band's embarrassing moment. And maybe they didn't realize it was embarrassing, but it embarrassed you.
Well,
Jack's yellow shirt.
Oh God, yeah.
Jack has his striped shirt. Liz has this orange shirt. Max sometimes doesn't wear a shirt. And
which is by request,
yeah, by a lot of people. I think the most embarrassing thing I can remember is we were playing just this. Man, I don't know how to describe it without cursing. Just this garbage little hole-in-the-wall place in Columbus. I can't remember what... I would totally say what the name is, but I can't remember. But it was in Columbus, and it was just like... It's just this very super generic bar. And we were playing with a band. We opened for... The band was very nice. I think they were called the Pink Flamingos. And they're a very nice band. We liked them a lot. And a very good band. And, but this place was so far out from Columbus, from downtown that, I mean, there was literally, I want to say there was like 7 or 8 people there. And, there was, and it was so quiet in there after every show or after every song. And this one time in between like 2 ballads that like meant a lot to me, So the one ballad ended and, you know, nobody clapped or anything. And then all of a sudden I heard the opening theme from Angry Birds come up because the guy didn't turn his phone off. And I walked over to him and kicked the phone out of his hand. And then that was, the funny thing was, is that we went up there just to drive by it. We had another show at, I can't remember the name of the place that we played, but it was another place that we had played. You know, we kind of gained a little bit more of a following up there, and we went and drove by the bar, and this was just a couple months later, and the bar had closed down. It got shut down. So with the 7 regulars wouldn't keep it open. So anyway, that's the most embarrassing thing I could remember. I don't know. Liz, you got anything?
Well, I mean, the most embarrassing moments that have happened in the band led to certain band members no longer being in the band.
Oh, yeah.
Because unfortunately, they weren't really so much embarrassing as they were catastrophic and kind of cost us some opportunities. But
one of our shows, Monty Lippman, CEO of... Warner Brothers Music Group or something like that. I think it was Time Warner Records or something like that. I think it was Warner Brothers. He was there at our show, and I asked the two guys in the band not to drink, just keep it under control at least. And then I looked at my tab, and they had put four at that point had already put 14. Red Bull and Crown Royales on my tab, on my bar tab. And the bassist was like mid one of the songs. He like looked over at me and kind of threw his hands out sideways, then bent over to mess around with his pedal board and just did an ass overhead forward flip off the front of the stage and fell off just completely. And a particularly bass heavy song too. So there was that. And yeah. And then we were going to go, we came home, replaced them. There was this other drummer that we were working with. And we were literally 2 weeks out from leaving on a I think it was a 40-day tour, and he left as a note in the studio, I've not been able to spend time with my family and friends, and just wrote as this overdramatic eighth grader kind of love note. And
Dear John, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Dear John does, yeah. And just left a note and his key on a stool and left. And then I'm not even kidding, like just 3 or 4 months later, Liz and I were working with another bassist, and he was, and we were, I think we were about 3 weeks out of doing another tour. And this was a shorter tour. This was about a 20-25 show day, like, excursion. And he came in and said, you know, sorry, I can't go. And I was, well, why can't you go? He's like, I'm sorry, I just can't. And later that night, his mom texted me and said, I'm so sorry. I'm just not comfortable with my son going on tour with you guys. And he's 22 years old. And it's like, all right, so okay, thanks for that, I guess. So that's when Liz and I made the decision before to kind of go as a duo. So, and then we found Max and Jack, which was an embarrassment in itself.
Robbie, did you catch the theme there?
Yes.
Bass players.
Yeah,
bass
players,
drummers.
Yeah, it's all about the rhythm section, baby.
So,
my guitar player actually said over this past, well, it's kind of funny because the guitar player, Mikey Mixter from Days New Dawn, actually helped run sound for Lucky Me on Saturday. And
I saw him rant about that on Facebook.
Yeah, it was pretty funny because, like, he actually joked around about that because we were getting compliments about the sound. We're like, yeah, man, you're doing really good. He's like, oh, I just pack it in the way I like to hear it. You know, it's all about kick, drum, and bass. He's like, I just crank those up because that's what gets the people moving. I was like, see, there it is, rhythm section right there. See?
Yeah, that's why Jack gets all the females.
Yep.
Well, Mikey has that problem too, but he plays guitar. So
Max does. Well, Max does too when he plays guitar. But his girlfriend has like a chastity belt that's double locked around him. So. As I've noticed, Max has actually started wearing this necklace, and every time he starts to look at someone,
he gets tighter.
He kind of jumps a little bit, and I'm like, I asked him, I was like, "What's going on?" He's like, "Yeah, I get shocked every time I look at females." That's Max's girlfriend. I hope she never listens to this interview. But
she's going to be online forever.
If she does, it's only the truth.
Yeah.
Things are starting to loosen up a little bit.
Yeah. We should. You want to give her a plug, Max?
Sure.
Say her name. Say her name, what she does, and then maybe you can get people to, I don't know, call her and tell her to settle down.
Yeah, her name's... Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen, honestly. But her name's Megan, and she goes to college down in Northern Kentucky. But she does musical theater. She sings and stuff. But
yeah, all joking aside, she's actually really talented. So if anybody that needs performers for a play or a musical hear this, you should contact Megan. What's her last? Is it Carlson?
Yeah, Carlson.
Megan Carlson at NKU. Max, what's her phone number?
Maybe don't do that.
Yeah, what's her address, Max? What room does she live in?
Her social security number is
Yeah, right. Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Let me test this for a second. 7. So, Max, when you see the memes on Facebook and they ask, like, you know, your such and such name is the month you were born, and
oh yeah,
and your mother's social security number, you don't answer those, right?
Well, I mean, you have to leave a comment.
Yeah, you have to, of course.
I was going to ask Robbie if he was still excited that I invited him in.
Absolutely. This has been awesome.
You're being quiet. I'm not used to that.
It ain't about me tonight, bro. It's about them.
Good. Ask them a question.
I'm a hi.
Hi.
Hey. So what do we need to do when we hit Pittsburgh? Like what's the thing to check out?
The standard answer would be you got to go to eat at Permane Brothers. That's just like a staple for Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. And the Dirty O.
And the Dirty O. One thing, and it's I would consider it a small thing because of the fact that, you know, I've lived here so long, but just actually this past year I had started Ubering and stuff like that for a couple months, and I started realizing how cool it actually is for out of towners to drive through the Fort Pitt tunnels like into the city. Because basically you're just on, you know, your standard highway, and then you go through a tunnel and poof, there, you're on a bridge, and here's the city's like right there for you. You can see the stadium and everything else. It's pretty cool to experience that.
Everything's lit up. The point is there. The fountain is going with lights on it.
You see both stadiums. Everything's right there. Instantaneous. As soon as you come out of the tunnel, the city is just wide open.
Casino I got kicked out of. Yeah, right there.
You also have to go to the airport so you can see George Washington and Franco Harris next to each other.
That too. Yes, too.
I've never seen that.
And I mean, whenever you get to Pittsburgh, you definitely got to hook up with the Days New Dawn guys, and we'll hang out and try to keep our drinking under control.
I think I'm gonna pull the plug. I'm looking
at. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah,
thanks for coming on. And absolutely. Let's make it 6.5 years before we talk again.
Let's talk again maybe before June.
We could do something shortly before the date and everything. Pump up the show or something that hopefully we'll be able to put together.
Yeah, maybe you can let us on your three questions in a jiggle.
that'd be really fun.
I'm renaming it.
You don't want to offer Bill a jiggle.
So that one is much shorter. Like my longest one. Listen, I've done 4 of them so far, and the longest one is 14 minutes.
Your longest jiggle has been 14 minutes?
Yes. All right, so. This has been episode number 450 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Check us out each and every Friday. Well, almost every Friday. up next, we have Children of October on February 22nd. Silver Tongue Devil from Texas on March 1st. Rocky Dennis Face, March 8th. Steel City Crew, March 15th. Brad Abbott on the 22nd. Highway Louie on the 29th. Human Delusion on April 5th. Foobar on the 12th. Wretched Hive on the 19th, and Feast on the Fallen on the 26th. If you are interested in being on this show or 3 Questions and a Song, drop me an email at bill@buildthescene.com.